Okay, before we get started, I'm going to remind everybody to turn off your mobile devices or silence them. iPads, iPhones, Androids. All right. Good morning, everyone. It is 10:03, December 20, 2022. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we move on with the agenda, I'm going to note that Commissioner Mitchell is on Zoom with us, and Commissioner Gilman will be joining us in a little bit. So with that said, we're going to move on to agenda item number three, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for December 20, 2022. Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions regarding the agenda?
You know, I was hoping for a little bit of discussion on one of the consent agenda items. Is now the time to pull that off or when we're considering the consent agenda?
I was going to ask probably the same question during the consent agenda item.
Okay.
Or I guess it really doesn't matter. Why don't we just do it during the consent?
Okay. All right. I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda and what is on it? Reminder for folks on Zoom, use the raise your hand feature. If you happen to be phoning in, use *6 to unmute yourself. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
All right. There is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number four is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Mitchell, I'll let you go first. What's your question regarding the consent agenda?
Well, I was just hoping to have a little bit of discussion about the new password policy. I know that certainly there's a balance and we could stand to upgrade our security. I don't know if there's a way to do it that's maybe a little more user-friendly than the proposed policy, especially just, you know, not, I don't know. It's changing a password every 90 days is pretty significant. I've heard from a few county employees that that seems a bit burdensome. And so I just wanted to see if maybe there was something that does increase our security beyond what we're what we currently have, but maybe a little more user-friendly.
Yep, that actually is similar to my question. And I would just ask that we get James on here to explain, what constituted this change or this request. And then he can address both your and my question.
Good morning, commissioners. Are you ready for explanation?
Yes, please. Hold on.
In the past, I looked at Keith. I know in the past when you've talked about a consent item, you pull it off the consent agenda and put it on a discussion item. I didn't ask Keith, is that necessary or can they deliberate on this entire thing generally in the consent item?
I think you can deliberate it.
Okay. Right now. Thank you. All right, James, go ahead.
Okay, so just some background history. We have not updated our IT policy, our password policy, for about a decade. And the new recommendations from Homeland Security and Cybersecurity Administration, the older style thinking was it needs to have, you know, one letter, one number, one uppercase, one special character. The new kind of thinking on that is the password length is the biggest factor in people brute force attacking us and things like that. So from a staff impact, I am in agreement with Commissioner Clay. It is painful, for lack of a better word. And I'm willing to adjust this policy to make it something a little bit more agreeable, but this is based on recommendations from the federal regulations, the general, you know, industry practice. Currently, we have a password minimum length of 8, and the new one is 15. So yes, it's cumbersome, but it gets people away from using single words as their password, which is the number one thing people do, like a child's name, a place where they've lived. It's usually a single word with like a 1, 2, 3 exclamation. What the larger length password policy is trying to achieve is to get people to move into more of a passphrase methodology, something like the lazy brown fox jumped over the brown log, you know, or something along those lines, something easy to remember, but not a single word, you know, the name of their kid, the name of the, you know, what the getting away from that easy to remember and easy to hack type password scenario. So we can adjust this down, but I'm going off of basically what the feds and what the security people across the world are saying as this is probably the minimum. Also the 90-day changing, that's really a protection mechanism. If you look at the news, there's almost every week there's, oh, this person got hacked and your medical information has been given up and this credit card company has been hacked. And it's, I have notification, services that tell me when my accounts have been breached. And it's almost a monthly thing for me. I've had my same email address for about 17 years now. And I have been part of probably dozens of data breaches, and I'm constantly changing my password because it's just, you know, I have dozens of accounts and I'm guilty of the same. I've used the same password across multiple accounts, and that's a big no-no. So, I mean, changing it every 90 days, that's going to put a strain on staff, but also IT is going to be changing a lot more passwords. I think the burden, in my opinion, is worthwhile. Because we're protecting a significant amount of county infrastructure, people's email addresses, people's financial information, things that don't necessarily need to get out into the public, you know, HR stuff or medical stuff or, you know, anything that is protected with HIPAA or anything like that. So that's kind of my spiel. And if you have any questions, I can dig deeper for you.
Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions for James before I ask mine?
I don't. I have some potential ideas or kind of broadening out, but go ahead and ask your question.
So James, is there a way to, for example, maybe make a email 120 days and maybe the passwords that get into our database, maybe something like 90 days? I mean, is it possible to separate that way?
It is not, because of the way our Active Directory domain is set up, the email address is what controls access to all systems. But if we want to adjust that, we can go from 1 minute to up to 120 days. If you guys want to adjust this upward, it's not any significant difficulty or anything. We can decide right now if you want to do 120 days, 180 days. And anything, I mean, currently we're doing annual. So, I mean, any improvement on that is going to be an improvement. So if we wanted to do 6 months or something like that, and maybe halfway in between, you know, where we are now and where I'm proposing, it would still be a significant security improvement.
And do you see a major security improvement between like 60 or 90 and 120 or 180? I know you said anything's better, but...
Right.
Are we really?
I think, and again, 90 days is what the feds are proposing. I think that's burdensome, to be honest. I manage a lot of accounts. I knew many other staff members have multiple accounts all over the place. 90 days is burdensome. So I'm absolutely willing to compromise on that, because, again, anything we're doing more than annual is going to be an improvement. And maybe we tighten it down to 180, and if that's not good enough, we can look at 90, you know, in the future. I'm just looking for an improvement. And also, if we're moving from an 8 to 15 minimum character, that's also a significant improvement. So I'm proposing both at the same time. I think if we went to something maybe like a 180, that would be a lot less burdensome on staff, and then we keep the 15 character requirement.
All right, James, thank you. I'll hand it over to Commissioner Mitchell for what he's got.
Yeah, so I think the specific concern that was expressed to me was was particularly with maybe some of our older staff members trying to remember passwords and the feeling that, and again, I have this issue, so I put myself in that category, not feeling that having to write down passwords really improves our security overall if they're not able to remember it. And both of the components play into that, right? With a longer password that then needs to change regularly, both of those make it more difficult to remember. And I'm wondering if maybe there's something that we can do as far as either providing some best practices or a layer two solution, something to help people, either encrypted password storage somewhere. I don't know what exactly, but a way that would help resolve the issue of remembering the passwords without necessarily compromising the increase in security.
Yes, Clay. So in the IT department, because we manage thousands of devices, each one needing its own unique password, obviously it's impossible to keep that in memory. There are solutions that are called encrypted password managers. We use KeePass for ours. It's free. And so it's encrypted in the sense that if someone gets a hold of the password file, if they don't have the password for that, they're not getting all of our passwords. So password managers is one solution. The second solution, again, is trying to move away from the password mentality and move towards the passphrase mentality. And again, even a simple sentence like "I like brown chocolate" or "my favorite color is red," any of those are going to meet that 15 character requirement. And the thinking again there is it's not so much upper and lower case and special character and all that stuff. The new thinking is the length of the password is going to protect you more than anything else. So, and again, yeah, the 8 to 15, it's almost doubling the requirement, but that's kind of that best practice that we need to start pushing. And we can do this incrementally or whatever the commission decides. It's just that we need to try and get into that passphrase mentality. And again, think of a simple sentence I like sunshine. There's really easy ways. It's just, and maybe we can do a campaign, send out a flyer or something like that of ideas to generate a passphrase. But I guess that's what I'm trying to sell here too, is that the passphrase is where we need to be moving towards, because, you know, heaven forbid next year, they're going to be like, well, now we want it to be 18 characters and things like that. So again, I'm looking to the commission. I will flex this any way you guys want to go. And I think that anything that we do today is going to improve our posture no matter what, even if we kick it up to 180 days or even if we shorten the length, if you think that's appropriate. I'm looking to you guys for guidance on that.
Commissioner Mitchell, to address the concern that you had, I know not everybody has an iPhone, but what I do is I have a set of notes, which can be locked, and I put all my passwords in there. So anybody having trouble remembering passwords, put them in your notes, lock your notes. I'm sure Android has a similar lockable note feature, but that is what I've found to be extremely helpful in keeping my passwords in order. And it's something I think most everybody has. I mean, everybody's got a county phone. So, that would be my suggestion as far as a secure way to keep track of your passwords.
Yeah, I think that maybe if IT can help with some ideas or suggestions to help people make the transition to the more stringent requirements and ways, you know, what the concept is, first of all, and secondly, some ways to securely remember those. That to me seems to help. And then I'm not stuck on any particular time frame. If we want to ease into it, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm okay. I don't see really a value in shortening by a couple of characters, because the whole point is to get into a phrase or something that's going to be quite a bit longer. I think as computing power increases, we're going to have to keep extending out the length to ward off brute force attacks. And so I don't really see much benefit to shortening that, but maybe providing some help and some suggestions or resources. for people to be able to make the transition and then be able to securely store those passwords. I think that would satisfy my concerns.
So Commissioner Mitchell, do we want to leave it at 90 days or do we want to go to 180 days and modify this agenda item?
I think maybe 180 days to start with, and then we can revisit it as we go and just see how well we as an organization adapt to the first increase.
Okay, that works for me. Keith, do we need to, how do we handle this?
Well, what I would suggest is take consent items 4I and 4II separate from 4III and go for public comment on I and II, and then we'll deal with the III as a motion and with public comment.
Fair enough. Did you catch all that, Commissioner Mitchell?
I did.
Okay, great. So is there any public comment between for consent agenda item 4, 1, and 2? All right. So Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion for consent agenda items 1 and 2?
Yeah, I move to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2 as presented.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to consent agenda item number 3. I think the commissioners have their questions answered. Is that good, Clay?
Yep. Thank you.
Nothing else? Okay. Is there any public comment regarding consent agenda item number 3?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
If you're going to change your passwords.
Yes.
All right.
Jim Hendel, Clerk Treasurer. Maybe if you would, clarification with Mr. Dean. This is impacting only those passwords administrated by Story County, correct? Not ones that are administrated by other vendors or software applications that have their own protocol. Is that correct?
Mr. Hendel, yes, that's absolutely correct. This only pertains to Story County's email addresses, which controls access pretty much to all internal systems. This does not apply to any external accounts. Of note, when we moved to the Tyler Cloud for our financial stuff, they have similar requirements to this, and it might even be identical. So they are going to be enforcing a similar policy, but that is outside the realm of IT in Story County. We can't tell our vendors, hey, no, you can't do that. But Jim is correct. This is 100% internal and really is only going to affect your PC and email password.
And just from the clerk treasurer's office, you know, we deal with a number of different software applications and vendors. We're not happy about this just because it's going to complicate our application access, but we know that all applications are moving this direction. So I would just encourage us, the IT department, to look for some type of a password manager application that may help us going forward and help people in the county going forward. Now that Commissioner Carmona has publicly stated that everything is on his phone, he'll probably have to change that.
Come again.
Putting it on paper or on the phone. I mean, I know I don't want to tell people, but it's hard to keep track of everything. So we just look for IT's direction and anything they can do to help us manage passwords, because it's going to get more complicated as we move forward, as more of these applications are going to go toward passphrase, 90-day changes, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to make work more difficult.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding consent agenda item number 3? Not seeing any. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I move to approve consent agenda item number 3 with the one change of requiring a change of existing passwords to every 180 days instead of every 90 days.
All right. There's a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again for that, James. Moving right along to item number 5 is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? All right, not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number six. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yes.
We have a public hearing that's been publicized for 10:30. It's 10:22 now, so if we could just make sure that at 10:30 or as close as there to as we can, we hit item number eight.
Okay. And we'll cut off.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Gilman has joined us.
Okay, fantastic. Welcome, Lance.
Thank you very much, Jay. I hope it'll hold. We could freeze up. We'll just keep re-hooking up. So just, I'm sorry about that. Keep an eye on us.
No problem. Thank you.
Yes.
Any staff reports? Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. Two things real quickly. First, on a sad note, I'm sure several folks have heard already, but let you know, passing of Highlands resident Nancy Killian. Nancy was one of the original members of our CERT team, was an active member right up until the time she could not do anything anymore. A lot of folks will know her as being a avid horse advocate. She was often seen wandering the county guarding with birth control. So our thoughts and prayers are with her family at this time. The only other thing I have to say, and kind of bittersweet, after 12 plus years of sitting on these hard benches, this is my last commissioner meeting. So while I'm glad I won't have to be here anymore, there's many of you that I will miss. So I think a lot of good things have happened in the county over the past dozen years, and I wish you all the best and hope things continue improving for our residents.
Thank you, Sheriff. Congratulations on your retirement. Moving right along to the fire district.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. Just a couple of updates. This is the time of year we do a lot of maintenance on our U-Haul We-Haul trailers. And I know with the snowstorm we had, there's substantial tree damage around town. Please, if you're affected by this, you need to remove some of those fuels, get a hold of us. We will get you a trailer. We will get that stuff out of there for you. Along those same lines with the snow, I also want to talk to the residents about our Adopt a Hydrant program. And if you have a hydrant out in front of your house, I know with all the snow removal that's going on, even when we clear them out, sometimes they get reburied. If one's in front of your home and you have the ability to clear it out, we would much appreciate that, 3 foot off to each side. And as well, starting today, we're doing some slash pile burning. Today, it's going to be North Lousetown off 341. These are just small piles of fuels that we built up through the years. And we're finally got the snow on the ground. We're going to start burning them. And as well, we're going to be doing more of that through the county. There are some certain ideal conditions we need, and this little breeze is one of those. So we'll be burning quite a bit in the next little bit. And I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. I don't have any questions. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the fire chief?
No questions, but thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. I think we can squeeze in one or two more staff reports. So we'll go to Public Works Director Jason Wersbicki. All right. Thank you, Jason. Projects Coordinator Mike Northern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Looks like we had a couple more in. How about, thank you, Mike. Story County Communications Dispatch, Becky Parsons.
Hello, Becky Parsons. We have nothing to report. Have a great day.
Fantastic. Thank you. You think you can squeeze your report in 3 minutes? All right. Business Development Director / Emergency Management Director, Laura Mather.
Thank you. Good morning, Laura Mather, for the record. First of all, I want to thank Public Works and Fleet Services for helping us dig out two of the vehicles both the business development vehicle and emergency management vehicle had about 3 feet of snow. And when I showed up there at Public Works, everybody stopped what they were doing and helped us get it all off of the vehicles. And I really appreciated that because we had somewhere to go. So thank you to them. This morning we received some great news. So the omnibus bill text was released last night, and our three community projects funding request made it through that next step. So not only do we know the projects, but we now know the amount. So the three projects are in the bill, they're in the language. The next step is that this will be voted on by the Senate either today or tomorrow, and then by the House, hopefully by Friday. The three projects are the Lockwood Senior Center, $2,500,000, Fire Station 71, $3,750,000, and the VC Fairgrounds, $615,000. So that's great news that we're making it on. They just have to get that final vote, and we will go to the next step. Just as a reminder, as I always say, no grant is free money. So we will still go through the process of filling out the applications, the preliminary engineering reports, the environmental studies, those kind of things. But we're just really excited to know that these three projects made it into the bill language. And that's the end of my report.
Wonderful. Thank you for all your effort on that. Always appreciate free federal money. Free federal money from our taxes.
Free with conditions.
At least we're getting some of it back in a way. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for Laura?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
No questions. Thanks, Laura.
All right. Thank you again for that report and all your hard work getting those grants and stuff taken care of. So we are at 10:29. I think we're just going to go ahead and start agenda item number 8.
Yes.
Does that work? All right. We're going to deviate from our staff reports, get back to our regularly scheduled agenda to agenda item number 8, which is for discussion and possible action. Public hearing on the plan for expenditures of infrastructure tax revenues. Comptroller McCain. It is 10:30 for the record.
Morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. In your packet, we kind of got a little confused on what was submitted and what needed to be taken out. So I want to draw your attention to the first list are the suggested items off of the CIP that we would like to put in the infrastructure ordinance. Need to ask Keith a question. I'm correct that this is just the hearing deciding what items will go on the ordinance for the next meeting, correct?
That's correct. Okay. I mean, we're going to approve the plan today, whatever plan is adopted okay. by the board, and then it'll be incorporated in the ordinance.
Perfect. Okay. So this plan includes catching up on some bond payments that was part of the rate study from Far West, some water tank rehabilitation projects, other water projects that include new B Street water lines, road projects from the Far West Road CIP, paying a portion of those for the next 4 years, contributing to the Virginia City Highlands Community Center, and the Lockwood Substation contributing to that as well. So if you have any questions or any other suggestions that we should talk about, I'm open to all.
All right. Thank you, Comptroller McCain. I'm going to go to Commissioner Gilman first. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Comptroller?
I have no questions. Just a major thank you for all of the hard work and diligence that's gone into this. I really appreciate and applaud all of the planning, and I thank you for the report. We have been looking at this for quite some time, but job well done. And thank you so much for the report here, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything you want to ask the comptroller?
Jennifer, my only question is just a confirmation that these amounts are simply the amount that we are, or a not to exceed amount that we are dedicating from this particular fund, and not necessarily total amounts on any of these projects.
That's correct. some projects are definite amounts. For example, the sewer bond payments, those are definite amounts. And the amount that will contribute for several of the water projects. With the road projects being several years down the road, we do, you know, as we know, prices can go up, prices can go down. We have a small contingency built into this, and I believe the infrastructure ordinance itself says that these are approximate estimates and that the board has the, can change them slightly. So we tried to estimate as close as we could.
Great, thank you.
All right, Comptroller McCain, that was basically my same question. I know prices are gonna go up, you know, so I guess we'll just have to deal with them, you know, when they come up year 26, 27.
Right.
And just make adjustments. So hopefully things will go down and positive thinking, maybe we'll save some money. But that's all I have. So with that said, I'll go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
I think maybe just.
Did you raise your hand? I thought you raised your hand.
I didn't.
You're right there. All right, one more time. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Give me just a second. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the plan for the expenditure of infrastructure tax revenues.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Yes.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to jump back to staff reports. We left off with Honey Menifee for community relations. Thank you. How about the VCTC? Going once. I don't see Leah on there. Nope. We will move on to the comptroller's office.
Nothing right now.
All right. I don't believe I see Assessor Seddon on there, so we're going to skip her. How about the recorder's office?
Good morning. I have nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you, Drew. Moving on to IT department, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. A quick update on the fiber issues we've been having with AT&T. We're coming up on 30 days with this problem. I have escalated it as far as possible within the AT&T organization. I've launched a complaint with the Public Utilities Commission and got some attention at the state of Nevada, so they're looking at it. We had a technician on site yesterday for 4 hours. He was unable to resolve any issues and spent most of his time on hold with AT&T. And if you noticed in the news, Lyon County's 911 center had fiber issues at their infrastructure. So I'm just kind of curious if AT&T is having a staffing issue or a knowledge issue or what, but I have never in my entire career had an issue like this go on this long. And I wanted to let you know that we are courting other vendors, particularly Switch, to look at other providers and other service vendors that can respond in a more timely manner. But right now we're kind of at the mercy of AT&T as the only game in town. So we're working on it every day. It's been stable for a couple of days, but then it went down during the weekend. Hopefully it stays stable during this meeting. So I'll keep my comments short, but we are diligently working on it. And it's been real tough getting AT&T to do anything. In my mind, they should have been replacing equipment already. And that just has not occurred. That's all I have today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for James about this?
No questions. Thank you, James.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, James. Moving right along to community development. Community Development Director Pete Renaud.
Good
Good morning, commissioners. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you, Pete. You guys see Eric showing up there? No. All right. How about Stacy York, senior senator?
Yes. Good morning. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Stacy. I don't see the judge. How about the DA's office? Is there anything going on?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Always good news. County manager's office. County manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne, for the record. I just want to thank some folks on our team for putting together the county holiday party next door. Brandy and Jennifer and Mitzi and the VCTC folks were very helpful in that. It was a very eclectic group of folks that showed up from all over the county. It was nice to see and well attended. So thank you.
All right. Thank you for that update. Last but never least, the Story County Clerk Treasurer, Mr. Jim Hindle.
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sharp tie. Like that. All right. We're going to get back to our agenda. Thank you for all these staff that gave reports. We've taken care of agenda item number 8. So we're going to go back to item number 7, which is board comment. I'll start off with Commissioner Gilman.
Just a happy holidays, Merry Christmas to everybody, and celebrating a wonderful year in Story County. We've come through 2022 and with flying colors. So looking forward to 23 and happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to say hello.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
You're at your office. I've upgraded a little bit.
Nice.
Just a couple of things. First of all, just to also echo the thanks that Austin gave to those who worked to put on the county holiday party. It was really nice. Also wanted to mention that I had the opportunity to attend kind of a year-end review with the community chest, and it was really heartwarming to hear some of the things that they have going on, all the programs and the dedication and commitment to improving the lives of the citizens of our county and surrounding areas. Just wanted to send out a kudos to them as well. And finally, with the snowfall and snow removal issues and some of that, there's been some conversation within the community about parking, about snow removal. And so we're working with staff to get an agenda item for a discussion on that, probably sometime early into the new year. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. I've created a tradition that I don't really like, but I'd like to mention a couple residents that have passed away. Anthony Herman out of Mark Twain. He was under hospice care and passed away just over this weekend. Also, we lost a Rainbow Bend resident by the name of James Olson, husband, father, and grandfather to the Hall family. He was also a Navy veteran and enjoyed sailing. He battled a long time with dementia and unfortunately passed away last week. And just want to take a moment of silence to remember both those folks, in addition to my fellow neighbor, Nancy Killian. So if we can just have a moment of silence. Thank you. On to something more positive. I wanted to point out that Sheriff Antonoro, as he stated earlier, is retiring. For those that don't know, let me give you a brief history of the sheriff. He started out with Story County Sheriff's Office in July of 2006. He was elected sheriff in 2010 and is now retiring in 2023. Sheriff Antonoro is the third longest sitting sheriff in county history, dating back to the late 1800s. During his tenure, he started the CERT program in Story County and was a founding member of WeCare, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that was active in the community, hosting events like the Mother's Day Pancake Breakfast, his famous spaghetti feeds, and photos with Santa. Senior and community outreach was always a top priority and has grown throughout his term. Over the years, working with him in my capacity as a VCH POA president, CERT member, and eventually as a county commissioner, I have seen firsthand his unwavering commitment to the people of Story County. As he trades in his patrol car for his 1951 Ford N8 tractor, I will miss working with him and will cherish the friendship we have forged over the years. Enjoy your retirement, my friend. As a small token of our appreciation, please come and accept this plaque as a reminder of your time with Story County, and we'll do a quick photo op if you would kindly abide. You want to be here?
Sure.
Okay. It's a small token, but hopefully you can put it up to your new place and remember the good folks of Story County.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Ready, 1, 2, 3, new call. All right.
Good luck to you. Thank you. All right, that concludes the board comments. We're going to move on to item number 9 on today's agenda. Which is discussion for possible action, update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding BDRs and bills proposed or anticipated in the 2023 Nevada legislative session and other properly related matters. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. I also want to mention that Mary Walker, Steve Walker with Walker and Associates, and Will Adler, all three of them are here with us to discuss some of the things we're working on. So if you all want to come on up, and I think most of this presentation is going to be by those folks.
Okay.
I think Mary's going to get us started. Go for it. All right.
Good morning. It's nice to see you. And that was a really, really nice holiday party on Friday. We've gone to about 3 now. I think that was the best. It was really fantastic. So, as you know, the legislature is vastly approaching. We are in better shape going into this session in the fact that we do have more of a balance between the Republicans and the Democrats, which is always better for local governments, just because it's a more balanced approach. We do have, on the assembly side, a 2/3 majority for the Democrats. On the Senate side, they're one vote short of a 2/3 majority for Democrats. So coupled with the governor being a Republican and the 8 members of the Republican Senate caucus, that's basically our firewall. And so that's very nice because last time we didn't have that. So hopefully things will be better this time and more moderate. Typically, we monitor, in a session, there's 1,200, 1,300 bills that come out. We monitor about 500 of them, which is a lot. It includes the sheriff's bills, the district attorney's bills, clerk's bills, elections, county government. We work very, very closely with your staff and elected officials in regards to that. I would say probably about 90% of the bills are operational type of things on the ground, things we do every day. There's about 10% of them that are more public policy, and those are the ones that come before you. Some of the issues that we have been working on and will continue to work on, for me, the implementation of AB 424, that's the bill last session that required within 48 hours after arrest to have a pretrial assessment. That's just hugely has been difficult as far as the implementation, not only on staff because they're working 7 days a week, which is not sustainable. But it's also from a monetary standpoint, but also from the criminal justice standpoint, when you're letting these people out early and they go out and they commit crimes, and then you have a, you know, kind of a worse cycle. That's an area that I've been particularly involved in. And during the interim, the Justice Committee, Judiciary Committee, talked a lot about needing to help the rules because of the implementation of this was very difficult on them. And there are several Democratic legislators on record on that. And so we're going to be talking to them and many others to try and you know, get this resolved and some of these issues resolved. There was discussion regarding opening up the consolidated tax. As you know, the consolidated tax formula is one of the largest revenue distributions to local governments. It's done on a statewide basis. A lot of times, not always, but a lot of times when it does get opened up, it affects everybody. So we did have a meeting last week with Lyon County and Legislative Council Bureau, and we're hoping that this doesn't get opened up this session. So that's something we'll be watching for. There are a couple of bills, and one of them is SB 20. That's Lyon County and NACO bill, and that would establish a process so that a county commission would be able to create an ordinance so that they themselves can fill the vacancy of a board member on your county commission. Right now for counties, it's the governor who makes that appointment. And in the law, there's absolutely no reference as far as the county commission or the county input into that. So it could be a governor just deciding on their own. The only requirement, it has to be of the same party of the person who had vacated it. So this one gives us an opportunity where it's actually the county commission would be involved in having public hearings, so it would be an open public process. So that's a really good bill. The League of Cities has a bill, AB 5, for a study of unfunded mandates, which I think is very good. It's two studies. One is for the preceding year, and the other one is for a 10-year period from 2014 to 2023. So I think that's a really good bill, because I think it will really bring to light that even though the legislature is not supposed to be passing unfunded mandates, and if they do, they need to provide funding for local governments, there's no accountability for it. So I think this is the first time, hopefully, if we can get this passed, that there would be some accountability for that. There is AB 52. There is a change on the open meeting law. And actually, part of it, I think, is pretty good. They're clarifying the definition of meeting. And to me, when I read it, and I know that attorneys are going to be looking at this, all these bills will be going out to the departments in January. These are pre-filed bills. But under the classification definition of meeting, it wouldn't make your Christmas party subject to the open meeting law. So you wouldn't have to have, notice that you're going to have a quorum. So it's just some common sense things are in there, which is good. One thing I know that Story County in the past has been concerned about is publication of legal notices and newspapers, which a lot of people don't even look at that anymore. SB 22 is a NACO bill, which would require that the legal notices be published on the internet website of a newspaper and not having to actually put it in the newspaper. So there's some good bills that are out there at this point, but the pre-filed bills, there's about 140 of them. And they're the local government bills, they're the state government bills, and but as they won't actually be introduced until February, but they are out in advance. So those are the things that we're kind of looking at. And we're working very closely with Mr. Osborne and getting prepared and getting your staff prepared for the next session. With that, I think Steve and then Bill.
Good morning, Story County Commission. For the record, Steve Walker, Walker & Associates. I handle water, natural resource, and planning bills that come through. Again, Mary mentioned there's about 140, 150 pre-filed bills, and there's a couple, there's actually three of them that deal with water issues. I think the most important one by far is one called AB 20, and it revises operations of the state revolving loan fund. That's called the SRF fund. It's federally funded, and it's on the water supply side, not the wastewater supply side. You go through a board for financing water projects and make applications. Lots of times it is a low interest loan, and sometimes, particularly in counties that have the low average incomes, it is an actual grant and a grant program. It's being basically aligned with federal law to better address federal law, but they also, because of the infrastructure bill coming out of the feds and the added money, they are proposing to include for the very first time financing for conversion of septic systems to community sewer systems. And I've worked about 30 years in this business, and I can't think of a county in Nevada that hasn't approved 1-acre parcels with individual wells and septics, and that's a recipe for polluting the groundwater with nitrates. This could offer some solutions. Again, worked on it a long time, and there's, I think, Carson City has done some conversions, Mound House and Lyon County, but for the most part, they're just in funding for it, so I'm looking forward to that. AB 34 is a state engineer bill that would just basically, when you do any type of water action would be applying for a permit to appropriate water, taking an existing permit and moving a point of diversion or moving the manner of use of the water. All those actions have to be published in the paper where the hydrographic basin is located 4 times. And then after that, you could go through the protest period. Evidently, the state engineers run into issues in rural Nevada where the publications haven't been 4 times. I think mostly because newspapers aren't published at that frequency. And so this bill basically says if it's published 1 time and in that publication, it gives you the date when you can start filing the protest, that will be meet that statute requirement. Again, there's other bills that I think that we'll get to your staff. One other one that might be somewhat specific to Story County is AB 47. And it's off-road vehicle trails are allowed adjacent to existing public roadways. So they're going to, so you can put those in. Sometimes the impact on that would have to be analyzed, but that'll be an interesting bill. But with that, I think I'm looking forward to the session. It's actually Mary and I's last session, and looking forward to helping Story County do it all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I'm Will Adler. I'm the principal of Silver State Government Relations. We're the other half of the team. We're the inexperienced half of the team, to be frank. So I'm looking forward to working with the Walkers on their guidance, especially with the water bills and some of the policy bills when it comes to local governments. We've been doing a lot of pregame work this session. Last session, we ran into a few unknown factors, such as innovation zones, as they jumped upon us. So we've been reaching out to those that we thought might be filing legislation ahead of time. One of which is Skip Daly, Senator Daly now, he used to be Assemblyman Daly, has mentioned that he's going to bring back some of those regional impact bills. BDR 536 is one of those to date that we've talked to him about already. We've established a relationship that I feel pretty comfortable with, and we realize where things can change and where they cannot. And we just ask to be informed ahead of time and be brought to these tables before we're served at them this session, and it's working out pretty great. So continuing that process, we've had a lot of good contacts in the interim, including the leader of the assembly, the speaker, Steve Yeager, came out for a tour, and he's been in touch with me ever since that time asking about regional impacts, yes, but what's happening in rural Nevada in general and sort of what's our take and what's Story County's ideas on a few of his bills even, and I look forward to continuing these relationships and keep you guys informed going into session. And if you have any questions, please let me know. It's the honor of my life to work for Story County, and it always feels like I'm the good guy. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Back to Austin Osborne for the record. So a couple of bills that are being looked at with all of us, of course, is Story County Interstate 80 safety corridor bill. And that would be AB 63 at this point. So it's an actual bill dealing with the short and long-term solutions to issues along the Interstate 80 corridor through actual law rather than the last 10 years of pleading to the government to try to make corrections. And then also, as you're aware, PK O'Neill, Assemblyman O'Neill is sponsoring a bill for us dealing with the transfer of these federal lands that we have received over to respective private property owners in Virginia City in a way that actually is manageable. As far as the folks that just spoke here, and I want to remind us all in the public, is each, you know, whether it's Mary's team or Will's team, both of them have different people they work with. Steve specializes, like you said, in water and planning. Will, a lot of times he's got his own connections and things. Each of these folks specialize in different things that are of the best interest to Story County. And sometimes there are certain groups that each of these individuals work with in the legislature. And when we need somebody quickly and we need to get into their office before a bill is going to be heard, that may or may not be to our advantage. These folks know how to get us into those offices and be able to influence, work with state government to make things happen that are in the best interest of the county. And as we're all aware, as Will had just said, is there's a lot of folks and a lot of agencies in the region that have a lot of interest in what we have and where we're going. And sometimes that's to our interest and sometimes it isn't. So that's why we have these folks that work with us. I'm proud to work with all three of them and the teams that they work with. And as we saw in the last legislative season, how important it is to have government relations leadership on your team to protect yourself and to advance your goals.
Thank you, County Manager Osborne. I will echo your sentiments. I've seen each one of our lobbyists and their specialties, and like you said, they're able to get in and deal with problems more often than not ahead of time. And that's definitely something that makes me happy. I'm glad to have a very diverse team that can really cover all angles of what Story County needs. So with that, I'll go to Commissioner Gelman. Commissioner Gelman, do you have any questions or comments for any or all of the folks that are up here right now?
And no questions or comments. I echo your thoughts for sure. And thank you for all the support. Looking forward to a very prosperous and successful next year for us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions either, Mary. Steve, well, thank you for the updates. Certainly some interesting bills coming down, and I'm sure the floodgates will open soon with about 10 times as many bills as we have right now. So we'll appreciate the help on keeping track of those and knowing when we need to engage. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to go out to the public. Is there any public comment for any one of our lobbyists or the county manager? Not seeing any. I believe we have a motion on this item, right?
Yeah, there is a motion
on here. Yeah. There is a motion. It's pretty much direct staff in any way that you feel appropriate, as well as with our lobbyists.
I found it. All right. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'm happy to go with the recommended motion, unless Chair or Commissioner Gilman, there are specifics that you think should be included in this motion as far as directing our lobbyists.
I'm comfortable with it. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any concerns about the motion?
No concerns. Thank you.
All right. I think we can roll with it as is, Vice Chair.
All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff, lobbyists, and professional services to continue appropriate research, analyses, and action on BDRs and bills in the Nevada legislature, which will best protect and represent the county.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 10, this discussion for possible action, update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists, including a 2022 letter to the legislative leaders per Assembly Bill 240 from the 2019 legislative session pertaining to orderly growth and regional coordination among Story, Lyon, Carson, City, Douglas, and Washoe. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. I want to thank Will Adler for introducing in 2019 legislation that was approved by Skip Daly's bill, AB 240. That bill says that Story County, Washoe County, the cities, and the surrounding counties need to collaborate each year and discuss orderly management of growth and fiscal matters. It's a little bit unclear exactly what that is, but Mr. Daly had talked about he wants to see the region just discussing and collaborating about matters of interest with the region. So each year I submit a letter to the legislature and to Assemblyman, now Senator Daly, on where Story County is with respect to its neighbors and what we're doing to regionally collaborate on various issues. The other counties also rotate and create one for the region. This year I have attached in this packet a letter that is prepared that was provided to Senator Skip Daly, as well as our Senator Lisa Krasner and also Assemblyman PK O'Neill. I think this letter provides you really as a executive summary of the fiscal analysis that is near complete, that'll be ready for board consideration. It talks about where Story County is in relation to Reno, Sparks, Washoe, cities of Reno and Sparks and Fernley, Carson City, Douglas, and even the state of Nevada, with regard to all things development, whether it's housing or transportation or it's social matters or it's participating on flood management and weed management and COVID-19 emergency management, all the different types of things that a county, a fire district, an emergency management office and other functions would work in the region. I think anybody could read this document. It's meant to be simple and easy to read and non-technical, so anybody, including our legislators, can see our relationship with the region. There's a lot of folks out there that talk about Story County living in a bubble and just doing its own thing. And hopefully this document shows them that is not the case.
All right, thank you, Austin.
I was just gonna state that, you know, Austin Osborne, as the county manager, took these steps preemptively, and I do applaud the county for doing such, because having this, you know, I was going to say ammunition in the clip, but that's not the appropriate democratic term anymore. But having our ducks in a row and having our own position in place is crucial going into this session, because it is one where we found people who are educated and know Story County want to support us and want to be there with us. And we found that during the Innovation Zone fight. So I just want to applaud the county manager for taking this time in the interim to do this hard work. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin or our lobbyist team?
Certainly no questions. I applaud the vision and the forthright efforts that have gone into creating this particular document and our position in the state of Nevada. I'm sure that it will bear fruit as we move forward, and I couldn't agree more, but the proper education of everyone making decisions around it is critical, and this effort goes a long ways toward establishing a baseline for Story County, and I thank everyone involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I want to echo those sentiments and thank Austin for his diligence in putting this together. You know, I think it's worth a read. It's a fairly easy read, but it's pretty astounding, some of the actual facts and figures. And these are not our facts and figures, but they come from sources, regional sources and state level sources that really address the impact of the economic development that's happened in Story County. You know, it's easy to create a narrative, and we hear multiple competing narratives about what's actually happening, the pros and the cons. And I just don't find it particularly useful to try to make policy decisions on a narrative that's not necessarily based on the facts. And so this is really a crucial step towards establishing those facts, and so that we can have productive conversations with the region about how do we move the region forward? How do we make sure that everyone is benefiting from the growth and development that happens here? So kudos again. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. I think both my fellow commissioners have stated my feelings. I definitely support a proactive versus a reactive approach. So I think we need to keep that up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct staff, county staff and lobbyists to continue communicating with appropriate legislative leadership and with neighboring counties and city jurisdictions per Assembly Bill 240 from the 2019 legislative session.
There's a motion. Do we have a second? I think we lost.
Looks like we may have lost Lance.
I will go ahead and second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you to the Walkers. Will, thank you for taking the time to be here. Now go back down there and protect Story County at the stake. Moving on to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the Story County audited financial statements for fiscal year ending June 30, 2022, completed by DiPietro and Thornton.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. We're past it.
It's not necessary.
Okay. Just for the record, Lance, I know we lost you. We passed that motion unanimously.
Thank you for the help, and I'm sorry I lost you for a moment, but the signals are such as they are, so we'll do the best we can. Thank you.
No problem. All right, back on to item number 11, Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. I am happy to report that our financial audit ending June 30, 2022 has been completed by Joe Costanza with DiPietro and Thornton. He's here to answer any questions and give his comments. I would just like to say that although we had a few bumps in the road during this audit, I think we went a little smoother than some years, not as smooth as others, but Story County, reiterate what Commissioner Gilman said, did have a fabulous past fiscal year. We have very conservative spending with our department heads that we really like to support, as well as our revenues were a little bit higher than we had anticipated. All of that can be reviewed in the audit. We're happy to answer any specific questions. One item I'd like to bring up is that on page 12, the Tri-GID is listed as a component unit, and it was discovered by Joe's team that there might be a possible change within their fixed assets. It won't affect the Story County portion of the audit at all, but there will be a slight change, and I'd like you to approve that audit with that change. With that, I'd like Joe to give his comments.
Thank you very much. For the record, Joe Costanza, DiPietro and Thornton. We're the firm that provided the audit this year. Thank you, the Board of Commissioners, for having me here today. One of the things, just to go over quickly, kind of two things that I think are important to make a good audit. Number one, we need to have a clean opinion, which you guys do have. It means there are no material errors in the statements, and they do accurately reflect the financial position of Story County. And number two is, I always think that an important part of audit is cooperation from the employees of the county. And that's one of the things, is a hard thing for me to go around the county, you know, go to these different offices, and a lot of them don't know who I am. But everyone has always helped me, always got me the things I needed to get the job done. Like I said, this year's audit, again, it's a clean opinion, as you guys have every year. A couple of things that I didn't want to go over that are maybe different than prior years. One is it was a new thing last year. One is a new thing this year. We do have the component, the GID and the financial statements. And this is because the board is the same for the GID as it is for Story County. But it isn't officially part of Story County. There is a control issue there that it doesn't have. So it's not included in the statements. We just have to list it off to the side. Legally, does this put any obligation on the county? That's more of a legal thing and lawyers. And I think the general idea is it doesn't. But the good news is there's really no liability anywhere right now in the GID. You can see there's no loans out there. I audit their statements too, and I can tell you they have the insurance and everything is good there. So there really isn't. It's on there for, it's good to know, and it's good to be out there because the boards are the same, but I really don't see any
you know, things out there that open you guys' liability as a county. And we are able, because of the way it is structured, to keep it separate from the county and not include it. And it is a discrete component unit based on the facts that we go over every year. The other thing I wanted to bring up is one of the big things that changed this year on governmental accounting, which has been kind of a pain for Jennifer and the whole office, but they were able to get through it, is lease accounting has completely changed this year for financial statements. In the past, you paid rent and you recognize it as expense, but now we have to recognize both a lease asset or a lease liability, depending on if it's a lease you have taking in money or if it's a lease for, I know that you had the body cameras that we had to record as a lease liability and record that you actually had that as a equipment. The effects on the financial statements were minimal. It adds a very large asset for lease assets and a very large deferred revenue for almost the same amount. But it is a new thing on there. And if you look at the statements and you see these lease receivables, these lease payables, and you say they've never been there before, it is because of this new accounting pronouncement that now we have to take it as an asset that you're going to get the money or take it as a liability. It does take some, this does take some professional judgment. You know, I worked with Jennifer and you know, what she thought was what leases would be renewed and what wouldn't be. The biggest ones were the cell phone towers. And I think from Jennifer and Austin and everything, it's pretty, we think there will be continue to be renewed every year. It's 25 total years if everything's renewed. So it does create this very large lease receivable. But like I said, there is a liability to balance it off. So it kind of has a minimal effect, but it does definitely increase your assets, definitely increase your liabilities. One of the other things I want to mention too, and it's good news this year, but next year it's going to turn around and be bad news, is you guys have to keep a liability on your books for the PERS in case they go out of business. PERS had a very good year for the year ended 6/30 of 2021, which is what we base our numbers on because of the time lag. So the pension expense was almost minimal this year for the county. So it created this you know, phantom gain that you had. As I said, that the liability really isn't on something you're ever going to pay. Next year, because of the way everything's gone with the market and everything, there's probably going to be a large pension expense. Like I said, this year I could tell you that gain really isn't realistic. And next year I could tell you that expense really wasn't realistic. You're probably going to ignore it this year and go on next year. But it really is kind of an accounting trick that just, it kind of shows the accounting at the worst case scenario. Do we expect you guys ever to have to pay out for what PERS cannot? No, because if PERS goes under, there's probably bigger problems. But I did just want to warn you that this year's pension expenses is incredibly low because PERS had great year with their investments and they're less underfunded than in prior years, where next year it's probably going to go the opposite way. One of the things as an auditor that we do, we check to make sure your statements are correct and they accurately reflect the county, but we also kind of have to look at the accounting system that you have and kind of give you suggestions. A lot of auditors and a lot of bigger companies are afraid of doing any suggestions. I always think it's a good idea. No one's perfect to kind of go over what we see and what we can improve. The first one is something that we kind of go over every year. We do have to do the statements for the county. And we do end up having to do some adjustments to get the books in order, working with the comptroller's office. A lot of this is due to the size of Story County. And the one thing I will say to this is each year you're getting closer to not having me mention this. Each year there's been more and more that the comptroller's office has improved on. And I think one of the big things is attitude. And there's always been attitude from Jennifer and before her, ever since I've worked here, to improve the accounting system, to improve what's going forward, to even though we don't have the size and someone will find a way to get this done. And that's why I said there's always been improvements. One of the big things this year was the county took a lot more ownership of the fixed asset schedule than in prior years, where, you know, we would have to look at it a little bit more. So like I said, always seeing improvement. Cash reconciliation has always been a much smoother process over the years. So seeing improvement, even though you know, I'll probably continue to put that in there just because of the size that the county is. And it's hard to get, you know, to be the accounting staff that some of these larger counties or larger state governments have. It's just something that I see and I'll have to say, but I do, one of the things I say is the attitude is there to improve and to, you know, when we do find an error, the question is, well, why do we have to do that or this? It's why did we make a mistake so we don't have that happen again, which is always a good thing. The other issue that came up with, as you know, as I said, leases were a big thing. So we did go back and have to look at all the leases. And doing that, we found that the Verizon lease for the cell phone tower hasn't, the amounts that have charged have not matched the actual lease. They're off like $500 a month. It's like $6,000, it's $6,000 for the year. So it's not a material amount. It's not a big deal. We would, you know, we would suggest that maybe leases be looked at a little bit more often. This problem, the error actually occurred in 2008. Like I said, surfaces of $500 this year, so it's not a big thing. The one thing that I will say is that at least was signed with AT&T after the fact, years later, and that has been handled correctly. And it appears that everything has been handled correctly going forward with these leases. Every year they do the increase that's included in the lease. Like I said, it's just a matter of, there was an error a long time ago, and it's not a material, it's not a very big amount. It's not something that would show up a lot, but you know, we do suggest that maybe every few years to kind of look at those leases and kind of make sure that there's not money being left on the table by the county. I am actually pretty confident from talking and going through the structure of the leases that if we were talking about a $2,000 a month error, it would have been found. I think the size was kind of an issue. So I didn't have to write that up as, you know, a significant deficiency of the system. It was just a material weakness. I don't think it will lead to the statements being misstated. I just think it's something that's worth pointing out to the county. But like I said, I think based on looking at the other leases and talking to the staff, I do think if it was a big amount, it would have been caught and corrected. Other than that, I think overall is a good year for Story County. Made a little bit better by the PERS thing, but it was a very, you know, very financially sound year. And I think that everything is going good with the accounting system. I see improvement, and I do think it's Tyler has been a very big improvement. And I do, I think Secures are in there too, also within Tyler, within passwords. And I didn't mean to get to the passwords, but with keeping access out of, you know, I wasn't able to get access a lot of times because I would forget something. So it was good to see that there was restrictions out there. And the other thing I wanted to say too was, you know, a funny story. When I was doing my audit, I did have to go out to look at some permits. And when I went there, I don't think they knew who I was. So rather than just give out public information, they told me to go away until they found out I was the auditor. So not only, you know, I said that was an internal control that was actually being followed, was I had to go back and get permission to see everything. So I do think there are a lot of great things in this county, and I thank you for letting me do the audit.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Joe or Jennifer?
I do not, other than thank you for a wonderful year. I think we have to point to every one of our departments and leadership. And again, the vision that's gone into and the commitment that's gone into line item budgeting and the fiscal controls that we've implemented, and our costs are going down and our revenues are going up. And how do you get better than that? So I appreciate the audit. I appreciate the comments, and I'm celebrating the successes that our accounting and our staff and all our departments are bringing to our county. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
You know, I just had one quick question regarding our pension liabilities and golly, I was on the page and now I'm not. You know, I've noticed that over time, both with the pension liabilities and the OPEB stuff, that, you know, as a percentage of covered staff compensation or salaries, that's steadily going up every year. And I'm just wondering if that's something long-term that we need to be concerned about.
I could get, see, one of the hard parts is looking at this, as I said, the pension expense gets a little bit thrown off because we have to take into account not just what you pay per year, but then we have to take into account the over underfunded that PERS is. I think it's something to be concerned about, but I think actually the expense is kind of a little bit more in line if we looked at the hard numbers before adjustments for pension, for the pension expense that we have to do from PERS or from OPEB as a whole. We do get reports. You get a report on the OPEB every year. And then also we have to get the state does a GASB report on PERS that we throw into this whole bucket, which, like I said, kind of distorts the expense because you have to pick up what the underfunded or overfunded liability from PERS. I don't know if that.
That's helpful. Thank you. Yeah, that's the only thing I had. I did. There were a couple of clerical things. I'll pass those along offline. They're not material. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman. I don't have any questions for either one of you. We'll go to public comment. Is there any public comment today for either Joe or Jennifer? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby approve the Story County audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022.
Second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again for your work this year, Joe, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate very much.
Moving on to item number 12, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible adoption of ordinance 22-323, adopting portions of the NRS, which are defined as civil infractions and amending portions of the Story County Code, addressing traffic and parking regulation violations as civil infractions rather than misdemeanors. This matter is in accordance with the change made in the 2021 Nevada legislative season.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Loomis.
Mr. Yes. Chairman, before we get into that, I just recalled that Comptroller McCain had asked us to do something specific with the TRA GID component unit. I'm just wondering if that was something that we needed to amend in the motion for the last item.
I don't recall what that request was.
Are you sure it was Jennifer? It wasn't Joe that talked about it?
They both talked about it. I just specifically remember Jennifer saying she was asking us to, there's some sort of a change or something to the TRI GID as a component unit that she would ask us to include as part of the motion or as part of the acceptance of this. Maybe it was already included in the report. I apologize. I just remembered it now. Usually I try to get these before I make the motion.
No problem. Jennifer's back. So you're going to have to
repeat your question.
So Vice Chairman Mitchell was wondering, is there something that we needed added to the motion regarding the TRI GID? Was there something we had to?
Their fixed assets will possibly change. It's not going to change the Story County portion of the audit. So if you would rather approve the audit with that change, I don't have a specific number yet.
Did you hear that, Vice Chairman?
I did, yeah. I mean, unless you feel that it's something necessary, especially given that we don't have a specific number, I mean, I'm happy to make another motion or to restate the motion to reference it. But if we don't feel it's necessary, then I'm comfortable leaving it the way it is.
I think it's going to be more of a clerical change in their audit, which has to flow over to our audit. So I think you approving the audit as we submitted it to you, proving Story County audit is what's necessary.
So I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Great. Thank you. My apologies.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. You are now. So going back to item number 12, we were going to hear from Assistant DA Loomis.
Yes, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is the
continued hearing on the question of whether or not to adopt an infraction ordinance. I went over most of the provisions regarding the infraction ordinance at the last meeting, and the request was made to find out that there was some confusion on the part of the courts as to whether or not an amendment to the county code was required in order to bring revenue to the county for infractions. And what I found out is that basically what was the way it's worked in the past is there have been what are called NOC codes, which are Nevada offense codes that apply to different types of crimes and ordinances or misdemeanors that are created by ordinance and whatnot. And depending upon the NOC code, this will depend on where the money goes. And Sheriff, if I need clarification on this, you let me know. As a result of the infraction issue, there has been some difference of opinion between the Department of Public Safety and the IT Office of the Nevada Supreme Court. The IT Office of the Nevada Supreme Court is reporting that it's not necessary to have these NOC codes anymore because the money will go based upon the location set forth in the citation that is issued. If it's within a city, the money will go to the city. If it's outside the city, the money will go to the county without reference to the NOC codes. So what I have gleaned from both District Attorney Langer and Justice Court Judge Eileen Harrington is that they're not really sure how this is going to work out down the road. And so what they'd like to do is just hold off, in a sense, table the request for an amendment to the ordinance to see how it's going to work out in practice. I think to some extent that'll work, but there is a provision in the state statutes that says that an ordinance has to be either approved or rejected within 35 days of the last public hearing. So it's kind of back in front of you as to decide whether or not you want to hold off, in which case I would recommend that we reject the ordinance, or if we want to hold off. What I'm hearing from Judge Harrington is that it may take 2 or 3 months to really get a good clue as to how this is going to work out in actual practice.
All right. So in your legal opinion, is it you think that we should hold off or we say for us to move forward?
I think it's my recommendation would be to say that okay, we're going to go ahead and follow the lead of B.A. Langer and Judge Harrington and reject the proposed amendment of the ordinance at this point. We can bring it back at a later time in a new ordinance.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Assistant D.A. Loomis?
I have no questions, and I am certainly in agreement with Mr. Loomis, and I think that we want to set this aside and consider it at a future date.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Assistant DA Loomis?
Just from a procedural standpoint, So your understanding, your belief is it's cleaner, if you will, for us to move to deny the ordinance, to take it off the table, as opposed to either continuing it or tabling it to a future time.
You just want it rejected.
Yes, and that's because of the statutory requirement that says that it must be approved or rejected within 35 days of the last public hearing.
Okay. Well, would continuing the public hearing leave that hearing open?
Potentially, yes, it could do that.
Okay, I have no.
But
I mean,
the hearing is it'll take 2 to 3 months to get a clear picture of what's actually going on.
Understood, and it's like and potentially there may be changes or needs to reevaluate how we're addressing it in that interim.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any questions for you, Keith. Is there any public comment for the Assistant DA regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to deny Ordinance 22-323, adopting portions of the Nevada Revised Statutes, which establishes civil infractions, what were previously defined as misdemeanors, and amending the provisions of the Story County Code to make conforming changes at this time.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Keith. Appreciate it. Moving on to item number 13, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval to add 501c19 nonprofit organizations to the Story County Nonprofit Program Support Application. Laura Mather.
Thank you. Laura Mather for the record. Based on an annual application process, Story County provides funding for federally registered 501c3 nonprofit organizations that are located within the county. We support organizations that are in our county buildings and help restore those buildings or provide services directly to our citizens. The current application is specific, has specific wording that is the applicants must be a federally registered 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Virginia City Veterans Community Service Center has requested the opportunity to apply for funding. They are a federally registered 501c19. That designation is for tax exemption under Section 501A for organizations that benefit veterans of the United States Armed Forces. So just to clarify, this is not saying yes or no whether or not they will receive funding. This is giving them the opportunity to apply for funding.
All right, thank you, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura Mather at this point?
No questions at all, thank you. We're gonna support our veterans for sure.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I have no questions. I'm 100% supportive of this action.
All right, County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important what Laura said in this is that the 501c3 and the 501c19 in this case would provide direct benefit to Story County residents. I think that's an important finding that should be made in a motion on this. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any questions for you, Laura. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay, please be sure to state your name for the record, sir.
Yes, John Strahan. And for the record, proud member of VFW Post 8071. And on behalf of the veterans of foreign wars, I would like to thank the commission for entertaining this possible change to the application process. We realize this is no guarantee that we will receive a grant, but it does allow us as a 501c19 to compete for available grant money within Story County. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Chris Thompson, I see your hand up.
Chairman,
you got to unmute, Chris.
Say again?
You had to unmute there for a second.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney, my name is Chris Thompson, a proud veteran of foreign wars and a member, lifetime member of the Virginia City VFW Post. I want to personally thank the county manager for his personal involvement in this issue and to get it done so quickly, and Keith Loomis for his quick action. The expedited action here is going to be helpful so that the post can apply in a timely way for grants for the coming year. Most of all, I want to point out that Ms. Laura Mather has just been a superstar. You know, she's started out at Fourth Ward, helping a lot of school kids down there, helping tourism. She's done grants for a whole bunch of people in need in this county. And now to kind of run this through and be the sponsor on this item, Ms. Mather's Good Karma account has to be overflowing for all the good things she's done for people in this county. So with that said, on behalf of all my veteran brothers and sisters and veterans of foreign wars, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your comment. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, and I guess my question is, you know, in recognition of what County Manager Osborne mentioned, you know, is that something that we need to put in a reference to directly benefiting the citizens of Story County, or do we feel comfortable that the reference to the Story County nonprofit program support application and its guidelines is enough that guides that process?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners Austin Osborne, for the record, I think it's important with conversations with Ms. Mather on approaching different Cs in these nonprofit grants that a direct benefit to the residents of Story County is an important finding to incorporate into the motion. I would ask if this board feels appropriate that that be very clearly put in the minutes too for future reference. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Vice Chairman?
No, I will just say, you know, I previously had some conversations with the VFW, and I understand that their structure, while their national organization may have a 501c3 designation, their local one is under the 19 section. And so I'm pleased that we are able to open this opportunity to them directly without having to jump through the extra hoops of using a parent organization. So I'm ready to make a motion if you're ready for it.
All right, please do.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the addition of 501c19 nonprofit organizations to the Story County Nonprofit Program Support Application for the purpose of providing a direct benefit to the residents or citizens of Story County.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mr. Strahan. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's move on to item number 14, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of task order 50 with Far West Engineering addressing NDEP's chlorine contact times question and engineering to redesign piping and adding valves at the hillside tanks in the amount not to exceed $20,000. Public Works Director Wurzbicki.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wurzbicki, for the record. As stated, this project will help increase the chlorine contact time for the water treatment process, satisfying all treatment requirements and answering all questions to NDEP. This goes in line with the project that you guys approved in last commission meeting. This is just the design aspect of that project and reporting side of it. Asking for your approval.
Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. I got real excited for a minute thinking that that we just dropped the cost of the project from 130 to 20, but that is not the case. So
that is not the case. Wishful thinking during Christmas.
Yep.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Public Works Director to sign Task Order 50 with Far West Engineering addressing NDEP's chlorine contact time questions and engineering to redesign piping and adding valves to the hillside tanks in the amount not to exceed $20,000.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, moving on to item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through H. My fellow commissioners have any questions regarding these businesses?
No questions.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding these business license A through H? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 15 as A through H.
Second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Welcome to those businesses. Welcome to Story County. Moving on to item number 16 is the second and final time we're going to take public comment at this meeting. Is there any public comment today?
Not seeing any public comment, we're going to move right along to item number 17, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a safe Happy New Year. We will see you all in 2023. It is 11:42. This meeting is adjourned.